The reading for this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen.
Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your love and care. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that every morning we can see you at work in our lives. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you do in us. And in these moments, Lord, as we come in front before your word, Lord, and under the guidance of your spirit, we pray that you will speak to us, speak to the needs of our hearts, speak to the things that we don't realize we need, speak to into our weaknesses, Lord. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to grow trusting in you. Every day of our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Right, good morning. And I just want to say, God is good. I was expecting to say he's good all the time. But we can repeat that, God is good. All the time. Amen, amen. This morning's message is entitled, Remember Jesus Christ. And it's a continuation of what Pastor John has started in 2 Timothy. But before we go there, I just want to ask you a few questions, or actually an important question. What is your best memory? Anyone has the courage to say what the first thing you're thinking of, that's the best memory you have? Anyone has the courage to tell us? Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Going to church one Sunday evening, and I didn't know God, coming out of the church and knowing God.
Amen. That's a wonderful memory. Yes, Barry? The day when you got married. Excellent memory. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, there are lots of memories that actually have a huge influence and impact on our lives. It could be a visit to your grandparents. I remember as a child visiting my grandparents, and I will never forget finding my grandmother having her Bible and a hymn book on her kitchen table. And she said to me, look, every day I read a passage from the Bible, I sing a hymn, and I pray for all of you. And she had a lot to pray for. Or it could be a shoebox received at Christmas. When you are about 9 years old and you don't really know much about the world around you, you were just told since you were 6 or 7 that you are a generation of sacrifice and you have to live with it. When you have received the shoebox at Christmas, made the difference. When you hear your sister who says, oh, I was expecting to find a doll in my box, but I don't have one. You have one. Can I have your doll? That's a memory that stays with you. Or maybe there's a memory of a teacher who, in a difficult time in your life, decided that it's worth spending another half an hour with you just to give you that little confidence that you needed to go over your doubts in your next step into your education. There are things that shape our lives. There are memories who remain with us. And even when we get old, we remember those little things in our lives that in a way or another have changed us, have transformed us, have made a difference. the first words in the passage that we read this morning say, remember Jesus Christ. And we heard a few testimonies here that people remember the day when they become Christians. And I remember very well the day when I became a Christian, a dark February day in 1996 in a bottom class, in a French class. Unbelievably, someone can become Christian in a French class. Yes. And the teacher was speaking French to the students. There were about 12 of us in the classroom. And we were talking about Jesus in a corner there, in a second bench on the right-hand side of the class. And I remember that very, very moment when my friend said to me, look, last night I've been to Emmanuel Church and I become a Christian. I know that I'm saved now. Are you sure you're going to heaven after you, if you die now? And I said to him, well, I have to be fair. For the first time in my life, I'm not sure. I'm going to church. I've been to church all my life. I heard the word, but I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I said, well, there is only one thing we can do. Here and then, in the afternoon, after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I gave my life to the Lord. I will never, ever remember, forget that day. I will always remember, and I will remind others about the day when they turned their face to the Lord, or better said, the Lord has turned his face to them. You see, Paul here writes to Timothy and he says, look, Timothy, I know that you are a leader. I know you've been given great responsibility. I know it's overwhelming. I know it's hard. I know sometimes the memories that you have from the past are bleak and dark. But remember one thing. Remember Jesus Christ. In the first part of the letter to Timothy, Paul uses the word remember or a variation of this word 5 times. And with your agreement, I wanted to go through those verses. Verse 3 in chapter 1, he says, I constantly remember you in my prayers. It's a letter of instructions, but before Paul decides to tell Timothy what he should be doing, what he should be remembering, he says, you know what, before I do that, I remember you in my prayers. And it's wonderful when you have someone who backs you up in prayer. It's wonderful when someone has always your back and you know that it's always someone on their knees or before the Lord, pleading with the Lord for you. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that, you know what, Timothy, I blessed you and I put you in charge of all these things to lead the church. But I wanted you to know that I didn't leave you alone. I'm backing you up. Every day I remember you constantly in my prayers. Constantly I plead with the Lord for you. Secondly, the second time when Paul uses this word, it's in verse 5. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Sometimes when we dig down in our memories, we remember those moments in our lives when we've been very much encouraged by someone. We're in our Christian journey and we could be many times wobbly and almost falling. And we had someone who was there for us, who encouraged us. And for Paul in his situation, in prison, persecuted for the word, persecuted for the work that he did for the Lord, it was important to remember Timothy's sincere faith. And my prayer is that we will have a faith that will be remembered by someone and that we will be an encouragement for someone. Then in verse 6, Paul says again, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. It is important many times to be reminded that the Spirit of God, the Spirit that has been given to us, is God himself. Is not this some sort of thing that happens and does with you different things that you don't want. It's God himself that produces fruit and gives us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And I think Timothy has forgotten who he was, because Paul had to remind him and say to him, look, Timothy, you just need to remember who you are and the spirit that Christ has given you. And we do need to remember that as well. And then in verse 8 in chapter 2, the verse that we read this morning is, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. And he said, this is my gospel. The important memories are the memories that stick with us and change our lives. And the gospel is something that Timothy needed to remember as he was a servant of the gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And remember that this is the true gospel. And then verse 14 in chapter 2, Paul again, he says, writes to Timothy and he says, keep reminding them of these things. And not only that you have to remember things, but make sure that those around you, those that you serve in the church, they are on the ball. Remind them of these things. It's not important to keep an important memory for yourself or an important thing for yourself. It's important that others remember what God has done in their life. Remind them of the gospel. Remind them of Christ crucified. Remind them of Christ raised from the dead. Remind them of the Son of Man who suffered and was tempted in a same way as we are, but without sin. Remind the church of the thing that the days are evil and people are godless. This is the second part of his letter. Remind them that Jesus is coming. I have a few points that I want to go through shortly. And first one is, memories that matter most are important to be brought to us from time to time. Bible scholars say about those words, remember Jesus Christ, as the heart of Paul's gospel. And I believe it has to be the heart of our gospel. You see, we remember different things, being in church, and a little while ago I was talking to someone and she was invited to go, this person was invited to go to a prayer meeting, and she said, oh, I'm not going to any prayer meetings because I had a bad experience in my youth when I was 16 in my church. Something happened at a prayer meeting and I never go to prayer meetings again. I had to say, but remember what Jesus did in your life. He has saved you and freed you from that memory. He has given you a better chance to live with him, to pray, to join in the fellowship of brothers and sisters who seek the Lord. That is what you have to remember, not the bad experience that you had. Firstly, it's essential that as Christians we'll never forget and regularly remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was the power of God who was in Christ making peace between himself and the world. And Christ died on the cross, but he also raised from the dead. It's a proof of his divinity. The Christ that we worship is not another prophet, is not another religion leader. Is the only one who's got an empty tomb. Everyone else is still there. You don't believe me? Go and see. The tomb of those religion starters in the world are still there. The only tomb that is empty is Jesus Christ's tomb. And he is God. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. And he promised that whoever believes in him will receive also everlasting life. And then second thing that we have to remember is the fact that this Jesus Christ, who was God himself, he is also man. He came into our humanity, he experienced the same struggles as we do. What Paul says here to Timothy is, look, mate, can I just say something to you? You are not alone in this. You are not alone in this. Jesus has walked the way before you. Jesus has been tempted as you are. Jesus has been despised as you are and I am. Jesus has been there. It's nothing new for him. But remember one thing. He is God's authority in heavens and in earth, on earth. Remember that the task he has given you to fulfill is not impossible, even if it looks impossible from human point of view. It's not impossible with him. Remember that what is in you is the power that has raised Christ from the dead. Whether we live busy lives or dull lives, we need to stop and take stock and remember who Jesus is. I love that psalm that has a verse in it that says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on earth." In the Romanian translation, the verse says, "Stop." And not only once, three times it says, "Stop, stop, and take stock." And I think when we are here and we are in a moment when we can stop for a moment and take stock, remember who Jesus is. Another important thing is to remember that this is the true gospel. I've said it before, and I just wanted to say again briefly, we are surrounded on TV and on media, so-called Christian media, for all sorts of gospels that are out there, and they promise all sorts of things. Let's be clear on one thing. The real true gospel is the gospel that proclaims that Jesus Christ has died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and this is our salvation. And he is God embodied in a human being, just so he can save every one of us. Let's be clear on this. This is what Paul has proclaimed, and not only that he's proclaimed, he says, "I'm ready to suffer, I'm ready to die, I'm ready to be taken as a sheep ready for slaughter." Every single day, he said, "I pay the price for this. This is my gospel," says Paul, "for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal." And he was chained as a criminal in a Roman prison with a soldier tied up to his, chained to him every single day of his life and could not escape. Roman Empire was making sure that those who was changing the world were well looked after as they knew best. And let's not be fooled by the world around us. They are taking care of those who want to change the world around us. The gospel compels Paul and compels Timothy to be ready to pay the price. And it's the same for us. If we have thought that becoming Christians is going to be an easy ride and we're going to have it a nice walk on a carpet with rose petals, we looked in the wrong place. This is not what Paul is calling us and is calling Timothy at. You see, therefore, he says in verse 10, "I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory." It is important that Paul sets an example of sacrifice, and he is ready to make Timothy know that this is the impact of the gospel on those who really, truly believe. I remember that saying, the blood of the martyrs is the seabed for the gospel. And a few years back, I was horrified to see on the news those 40 Christians. They were slaughtered on the seashores of the Mediterranean Sea by the ISIS. And since then, is not stopped. Reality is, here in the West, we do it very well from this point of view. Not much hassle we have. Sometimes some doctors lose their jobs because they pray with the patients, or nurses lose their jobs because they wear a golden cross hanging on their necks, and stuff like that happens. But that is nothing compared with what happens in other parts of the world. And I'm sure you have read, some of you have read the book of Brother Andrew, the Secret Believers. I'm not sure if I'm sure you, some of you have heard of it. But in this book, there is a story, and there is this Muslim man called Ahmed, and he is a young man, a student in university, and he gets to write to read the Bible, and he reads the Bible. He gets that strong conviction that Jesus is the prophet and not Muhammad. And he starts to search, and he goes to Christian churches in his town, and they reject him because no one wants to have a young Muslim coming to church, because next thing they will have, it will be a bomb at the door of their church. So he's rejected by the churches in the town, and he's still searching. He had to run away from his home. He had to leave everything behind, break any relationship he ever had with anyone, because the sentence for a Muslim that becomes a Christian is death. Killed by his own family because he disowned his own family. Well, this young man manages to escape a few times, but there comes a day after his baptism, and it's funny enough that he receives at his baptism the name Timothy. And just that very day, the secret service from that country arrests him and his two friends, and he is beaten so badly that a few days he stays unconscious of a prison cell, a concrete prison cell. And when he wakes up, the only thing that comes in his mind is this: your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will empower us with that attitude that is in Jesus Christ. We do not know what the future reserves for Britain or Europe. The only thing we know is the world has nothing good to reserve for Christians. So prepare yourself. Be ready. Embrace the whole armor of Christ. See who you believe in. Trust in him. And finally, I just wanted to stop a few moments at the last verses in this passage, verses 11, 12, and 13. This chapter, it could sound a little bit dark, and it could sound a little bit disheartening, but it ends with the victory song. Now, just imagine that the Christians who are going into the arena to be either fighted by the gladiators or eaten by the animals, we're singing this very song. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I have found this is a real hymn. It's not an invention by Paul, but it's a real hymn. And one of the ancient Christian scholars has written down for us another verse of this hymn, and it sounds like this: if we have Christ in the present world, we shall inherit the world to come, as he has promised to raise us from the dead. And he said, when he said, if we walk worthy of him, so shall we reign with him. Verse 11 could suggest very well that we are dead in sin and we are alive for Christ. But in the same time, I think more pragmatically, we can consider that this verse refers with a real call for us to be prepared that we might be asked to go to that very end when we are taking seriously our faith in if God is asking us and God creates the circumstances, we need to be prepared to die for Him in order to live with Him. Luther said that Christians inherit Christ's cross, but also inherit Christ's resurrection. And I like to say that without the cross, which we are called to carry every single day of our lives, there is no crown. God promises that if we endure with Him, we will also reign with Him. So it's clear that when God says something, He does what He says. The promise of eternal life, it's there for us. But also we have to be aware of the fact that there is a promise of eternal rejection for those who have rejected Christ. So let's not fool ourselves, but trust God on His word. A faithful God, He remains faithful. Verse 13, even when we are not faithful, and even if we are estranged from God, He is there for us. And someone used to say that if we feel far from God, it is not God who's gone away, it's us who's gone away from Him. So I'll encourage you this morning, draw near to God, trust in Him and His unfailing love. I'm going to close with a call. Remember, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel that we've been preached, the gospel that we believed, and the gospel that we are saved through. Would you remember Him? Let's pray. Lord of heaven and earth, forgive our short memory. Forgive our small faith. Forgive our poor endurance and the many times when we complain about all of the things. Lord Jesus, this morning we've been reminded of Jesus raised from the dead, victorious over death and sin and hell and Satan. We come to You and ask You that You make this real for each one of us. May Your grace be real for each one of us here this morning. The grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and gives us the power to live a life that pleases You. Lord, we realize that You're coming soon. So in that expectation, help us, Lord, to live in a way that pleases You. Help us, Lord, to never forget You. Help us to remember that one day we will be witnesses of the showing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning let everyone here know the power of Your resurrection and the fellowship of Your sufferings, so we can rejoice one day at Your return. And we pray all this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.